If you have your Bibles, go with me tonight to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Worth Baptist Church exists to glorify God by making disciples in Fort Worth, the Metroplex, and around the world. And as I've told you many times before, making disciples is not a program in the church, it's the purpose of the church. And a church that doesn't make disciples isn't really a church at all. It's just a bunch of disobedient Christians hanging out. Now, our strategy for making disciples comes right from the New Testament. We want to reach, grow, and send. We want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and see them saved. And once they're saved, we want to grow them into lifelong, mature followers of Christ, all so that we can send them back into the world to be the world-impacting disciple makers that Christ has saved them to be. But the truth is tonight that no church and no individual Christian can accomplish the Great Commission or sustain a lifetime of reaching, growing, and sending in their own power. And I want you to look at John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Jesus gave the disciples the promise that they would do greater works, but that promise was contingent on something. It was contingent on Jesus going back up to heaven and then on the day of Pentecost sending the Holy Spirit down to earth. The promise was dependent upon the power. Jesus will say here in just a moment in John 15, verse 5, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Zechariah 4, verse 6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." Now you need to know tonight that the Bible teaches that every true believer is indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8 and 9, "Now if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Listen to Job 33, 4. "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." Folks, did you realize that just like God breathed into Adam the breath of life, God breathed the Holy Spirit into your dead spirit, and he made you alive at the moment of salvation. You are a spiritually living creature, and God himself lives in you. If that's true, and it is, then why are so many Christians and why are so many churches dead and dried up and without any signs of life? Many Christians are like the disciples that Paul met in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. He asked them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" They said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." It's not so much that many of our day haven't heard of the Holy Spirit. It's that they seem to be totally unaware of his presence in their lives or of how they can experience his power on a daily basis. Someone has said that the difference in the church Wi-Fi and the Holy Spirit is that people complain when the Wi-Fi goes out. And I'm convinced that one of the main problems in the church in America is that we've created all kinds of methods and means to build our churches that have nothing to do with the power and presence of God. We don't have to fast and pray to experience a stirring of God in our services. We have professional musicians and therapeutic preaching meant to manipulate the emotions of people. We don't have to beg God for people to show up and fill our buildings. We have marketing and media for that. One preacher claimed that he could build a church even if there was no God. Folks, it's possible for things to be going smoothly. It's possible even for the outward signs of success to be there in a church and for no one to even notice that the Holy Spirit is absent. We can mistake the presence of physical bodies in a building for the presence of real spiritual life in God's people. And I'm convinced that the greatest obstacle to accomplishing the mission in our lifetime is that we have a generation of Christians who live as if they have not even heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to work in our lives. I believe He wants to work in our church even more than we want Him to. And I believe that we can be a people who more fully discover the greatness of the God who lives within us so that we can do the great works that He's promised we will do. Tonight I'm going to share from God's Word three things the Holy Spirit does for us. And as I share the vision, I am not going to share with you what you should do for God. I'm going to share with you tonight what I believe the Holy Spirit of God wants to do through you, and He wants to do through our church. Here are three things the Holy Spirit should be doing for every believer in the room tonight. Notice in the first place, He makes the presence of God real to us. That's one of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit. He makes the presence of God real to us. Look at John 14, 16. Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Folks, throughout the Bible, we see a God who's always wanted to be present with His people. In the Garden of Eden, He would come and walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. In Exodus, He would come down as a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. He could have just sent a cloud, or He could have just sent a star, but He wanted to be with His people. He instructed them to build a tabernacle and then a temple, and the people of God would be able to say through those facilities that God Himself dwelled in their midst. After His presence left the temple and the people of God went into captivity, He told Ezekiel and the other captives in Babylon to call Him Jehovah Shammah. It means God is there. When the Messiah was born, you remember what they were commanded to call Him? Emmanuel, God with us. And now through the Holy Spirit, God would be closer to His people than He ever had been. He wouldn't just be with them, He'd be in them. He says in verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." The word comfortless in verse 18 is the Greek word orphanos. We get our word orphan from it. He's saying here, even though I'm going to the cross and eventually I'm going back to heaven and my physical presence will no longer be with you, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you through the Holy Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God can be just as real and present with us as Jesus was with His disciples. Think about that for a minute. God just as real to you as Jesus when He was in physical form with the disciples. Just as real to us as if He were in this room and sitting with us and talking with us and we could reach out and touch Him. Can I ask you a personal question? Do you think about your Christian life like that? Do you think about your Christian life like it's a relationship with a real person whose presence you experience on a daily basis? A person whose voice you hear. A person whose presence you feel. A person whose heart you have come to know and to commune with. Ephesians 3 says that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, and we're rooted and grounded in His love. Romans 12 says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Romans 5 says that the love of God is shed abroad, literally flooded into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 4 said that God sends His Spirit into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father, Daddy, Father." And Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a British pastor, and he used a helpful analogy to explain this ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. He used the analogy of a father and son to explain how God really makes his presence known to us. He says that imagine you're a father or a mother and you're walking along one day hand in hand with your little boy. But then all of a sudden, you pick him up and you throw him up in the air and you spin him around and round and then you draw him close and you say, I love you, son. I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad to be your dad. I'm so glad to be your mom. And then you put him down. Now, is he any more your son when you pick him up and love on him than he was when you were just holding hands with him? No. The legal status doesn't change when you bring him close or whether you're far away from him. But when you pick him up and when you bring him close, he feels like you're his son, like he's your son. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what the Holy Spirit does to us. He brings the love of God into our hearts. He makes the presence of God real to us on a daily basis. And my question for you is, how would your Christianity change this year if you saw his presence with you as a real person wanting to make himself real to you? What if this year when you experienced conviction during a worship service, you saw it less as the preacher stepping on your toes or trying to get up in your business, and you recognized that it was the voice of God speaking to you? What if this year you could learn to see sin less as breaking a law and more as grieving a real person? Galatians 5 says that the Spirit within us fights against our flesh and fights against our sins so that we might learn to manifest and experience his real love, his real joy, his real peace. Did you ever stop to think that that conviction that you feel when you're reading the Word or coming to a worship service is just the outcry of a real person who lives within you and who wants to know you and fellowship with you and be intimate with you and wants nothing to come between your relationship with him? What if this year when you're walking through a valley, when you're going through dark times, you just need some guidance about something happening in your life? What if you recognize God bringing specific verses to your mind and you understood it wasn't just your mind remembering some random verse, it was a person trying to bring comfort to your heart and heal your life through the Word of God? Folks, what I'm trying to say today is that Christianity becomes real when it's a relationship with a person you can grieve, a person you can speak with, a person who can give you guidance and correction, a person who loves you, a person who wants you to follow him. Martin Lloyd-Jones would go on to say this: those who have received the Holy Spirit are aware of a power dealing with them and working in them, a disturbance, something, someone interfering in our lives. We're going along and suddenly we're arrested and pulled up and we find ourselves different. I cannot put it better. That is the essence of the Holy Spirit dealing with us. And that's what he does in our lives. He disturbs us. He arrest us, and through his work, God is real in us, and it makes us different. I want you to know tonight that this year, God wants you to know his presence through his word. Did you know the primary way that you will experience the voice of God speaking to you this year is through the Bible? You know, that's why in your Vision Day booklet this morning, we put a Bible reading schedule in there. We didn't put that in there because we needed to waste a few extra trees or we needed to fill up some pages. We put that in there because if you're going to experience the presence of God in your life this year, you have to commit yourself to a daily time in the Word of God. Don't view your Bible reading schedule as a throwaway piece of paper or doing your devotions as some kind of dry spiritual discipline you do to check a box or so you won't feel guilty that day. View it as a way to communicate with the God who lives within you and who wants to speak with you. I don't know about you, but I'm not really great at responding to text messages. And some of you that have tried to text me can articulate frustration with that tonight. I think you should text someone because you want them to be able to communicate with you at their convenience when they get a minute. But some people text because they want you to communicate with them at their convenience. They text you and they get mad when you don't text them right back. Boy, I've had some messages like that. I don't have many empty moments in my day, so sometimes it can be hours, sometimes even days before I get back with someone. Now, that can really be a problem when my wife is texting me. Now, she doesn't do it often. She tries to respect my study hours. She understands my schedule. But a few months ago, she pulled out her phone and showed me what our text conversation looked like on her phone. There were 5 or 10 messages in a row that she had sent me over several days, and I had not responded even once. Tongue in cheek, she said to me, "You know, when we were dating, you used to respond to all my texts." She said, "Don't you still love me?" And boy, right there in the heart. To her, reaching out and trying to communicate with me during her day was an expression of her love. And even though I dearly love her and nothing's changed, I love her more now than I ever had, my unwillingness to communicate with her didn't reflect that. It didn't show that. So the last few months when she sends me a text message, I try to get right on it. I want her to know she has my love. Oh, would you listen to me this morning? When you get up in the morning and you feel that stirring, the Holy Spirit telling you, spend some time in the Word today. When you go to bed at night and you start to feel that conviction because you didn't get to read your Bible or spend time with God, recognize that's not a guilt trip being put on you by your pastor. It's not legalistic dread. It's the Holy Spirit of God telling you, I love you. I want you to hear from me. I want to hear from you, and I'm reaching out to you today. It's a wonderful thing when God in His love would put His Spirit within us so that we could hear His voice and His presence could be real to us. Folks, God wants you to know His presence not only through a personal time in the Word, but also through worship and the public preaching of the Word. Psalm 22 tells us that God inhabits the praise of His people. Acts 2 says that when Peter preached the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, that the listeners were pricked in their hearts. Oh, the Holy Spirit communicates to us not only through our private Bible study, but through public worship and the public preaching of God's word. That's why I'm as excited as I've ever been about the worship services of Worth Baptist Church. I'm excited as I've ever been about the preaching of God's word. On Sunday mornings, we're going to do an in-depth study of the Holy Spirit. And by the time we get through with that study, nobody in our church will be able to say, we've not even heard as whether there be a Holy Spirit. And I'm praying we wouldn't just know facts about the Holy Spirit, but we would come to know the real person in a much greater way, and that we would see what great power lives within us. On Sunday nights, we'll begin walking verse by verse through the book of Esther. My favorite way to study God's word and to preach God's word is just to preach it verse by verse, especially through the narrative sections. And I'm telling you, Esther may be missing the name of God, but it is not missing the hand of God. And that book is all about discovering your purpose in life and how God leads your life in ways that are unknown to you. And I'm telling you, we're going to have a great time on Sunday night studying one of the great heroines of the faith in Esther. And then on Wednesday nights, we're going to continue our study in the book of Daniel. We've been going verse by verse through the first few chapters, and we have had a wonderful time. It's a great combination of practical truths and prophetical truths. And I'm going to tell you, there's nowhere else you ought to be on Wednesday night but at Worth Baptist Church, growing deeper in God's word and hearing His voice. I don't know about you. I don't want to just come to church this year. I don't want to just go through worship services. I want to experience the presence of God in this place. I want God to be alive here. And I promise you this, He's going to work this year, but He can't bless an empty pew. So why don't you decide this year I'm going to do whatever I can Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night to grow deeper in the Word of God and to experience His presence. You see, folks, before God can do greater things through us, He must first do greater things in us. Before we can live in His power, we have to learn what it means to live in His presence. And this year, the Holy Spirit wants to make the presence of God real in your life, and He'll do it through His Word. So the Holy Spirit makes the presence of God real to us. Notice in the second place, the Holy Spirit makes the power of God come alive in us. Look over at John chapter 15. It's the same address that he gave to the disciples that night. Look at what he says in verse 5. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And notice the contrast just a few verses away in your Bible. In John 14, 12, he said, with me, when you believe on me and you're filled with the Spirit, you'll do greater things. But he says in John chapter 15, verse 5, apart from me, without me, you can do nothing. As I was studying this section of Scripture and trying to choose our theme for this year, I thought about choosing John 15, 5 as our theme verse. And I thought about entitling the theme, Nothing, colon, What We Can Do Apart From Jesus. And then the more I thought about it, the more I decided against it because I thought some of you might take me up on that challenge. So I decided instead, we'll call it John 14, 12, Greater Things, What Jesus Can Do Through Us. Some people think that growth in the Christian life happens mechanically. They think that God builds Christians like he builds a building. You stack this brick on top of this brick and another brick on top of another brick until it's finally finished. They think it looks like this. You start with salvation, that's the bottom brick. Then you add a discipleship class and Bible reading and Sunday school and tithing, and you start wearing a tie or a dress to church, and then you get involved in ministry, and that's what makes you a mature Christian. Folks, the problem with that way of thinking about the Christian life is that we can do all of those things without the Holy Spirit. Even lost people can do those things. Jesus in John 15 said that growth in the Christian life would not happen mechanically, it happened organically. Much the same way that a vine grows. What happens is he puts us in Christ. And as it were, he plants the Holy Spirit, a real living person, inside of us. And as we learn on a daily basis to abide in him and commune with him, he releases his power in us and we begin growing from within and bearing fruit. And the more yielded we are to him, the more fruit he'll bring forth through us. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1, if you will. We spent a lot of time in the book of Colossians last year. Most Christians, I think, see the Christian life as something they're doing for God. Jesus died for me, and it's the least that I can do to live for him. So I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to have a prayer time, and I'll listen to the Christian radio station, and I'll hand out at least 3 tracts every day, and I'll attend this percentage of church services and get involved in these ministries, and then I can come to church on Sunday, and I can feel good because of all that I've done for God. Listen, if you view the Christian life as something you do for God, you'll eventually be exhausted. Your flesh will eventually get tired. What the Bible tells us about growth is that it's Jesus in me, but when it's you working for God, it's just you, it's just me. Other Christians see the Christian life as Jesus and me. Almost as if we're partners together in Tyler Gillett Incorporated. And most things in life I can handle on my own. But when I go through a really dark and difficult time, that's when I need my partner's help. Or when I have any greater than my ability, that's when I'll pray and ask him for his help. The Christian life isn't me living for God. The Christian life is not Jesus and me. The Christian life is Jesus in me. Look at verse 27. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Look at that phrase in verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Folks, the only hope we really have for glorifying God in this world and the only hope we have for doing the work in verse 28 of presenting every man perfect in Christ Jesus is Christ in us. These verses help us to understand both the human side of God's work in us and the divine side. He says in verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working. I think some people get the idea that if we live the Spirit-filled life and Christ lives through us, that it means we'll never really have to work hard to serve the Lord. You know, Paul doesn't say that here in Colossians chapter 1. He said, I labored, I was striving. It means to labor to the point of exhaustion. I think many people think that if they're filled with the Spirit, they'll wake up every morning at 4:30 just enthusiastic to spend some time with God and pray for a couple hours. They'll be so enthusiastic about knocking on doors, they won't feel the first bit of fear about talking to a complete stranger about the most personal thing in all the world. Now, folks, those things might be true if we didn't have a flesh, but we do. And the flesh fights us for every inch of spiritual progress we made. Tonight, I am working hard. I am sweating. And when I get home tonight, this shirt will need to be washed a couple of times, and I will be physically drained. Listen, just because God works through us doesn't mean we don't work. The human side of even Spirit-filled ministry is exhausting at times. It can be grueling at times. That's the human side. There is a side to serving the Lord that's striving and discipline and doing something because you made it a habit to do it and it's the right thing to do. Someone has said that people do not decide their future, they decide their habits, and their habits decide their futures. Folks, there's a lot of truth in that. And I promise you that if the Holy Spirit of God is leading in your life, he's going to lead you to make some new habits. He's going to lead you on Sunday morning to get up out of bed and come to church. He's going to lead you to give the gospel to people as you're out and about. He's going to lead you to give. And sometimes as he leads you, he asks you to do some things that were uncomfortable. But if God's greatest purpose in life was for you to be comfortable, then why, pray tell, did he send you a comforter? Sometimes the Spirit-filled life looks like a lot of hard work. But there's also the divine side. Because he says in verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So Paul says, I'm working, but the Holy Spirit's working too. I'm preaching and I'm physically drained and I'm physically depleted as I warn and teach every man and try to present them complete in Christ Jesus. But as I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit of God is working in me. The Holy Spirit giving wisdom and direction to do what God's called him to do. Paul was working and Jesus in him was working as well. I think there's a great illustration of this truth I'd like to use tonight, and that's this flashlight. And this illustration is not original to me. I've seen a couple of preachers use it. You know, a flashlight can come in awful handy. And as I shine it around the church tonight, I'm seeing some glare come back at me off of some of your bald heads this evening. The longer I'm in the ministry, the more of that problem I have, let me tell you. So I shouldn't be talking. You know, a flashlight can really come in handy when it's dark. It can come in handy if the power goes out or if you like to go camping. A good flashlight can be a good thing to have. But here's the thing. A flashlight is basically two parts. Plastic and the power source. And when you take the power source out of the plastic, you really have something that's cheap and really something that's a piece of junk and really something that's just not worth much. It's useless. Listen to me, folks, apart from the power and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're plastic. And when we start to live a life that's disconnected from God and not abiding in the Holy Spirit, we won't have the capacity to shine for Him. We won't have the capacity to be a light for Him. But I'm going to tell you that when a person starts walking in the Holy Spirit and communing with Him and growing in Him, the power of God will start working through him, and he'll be a bright light that can shine in the world. And I just want to ask you tonight, Christian, have you gotten disconnected from your power source? Because apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, we're nothing but plastic. And it's the Spirit of God, as we abide in Him on a daily basis, that makes the power of God come alive in us. That's His ministry. You know how desperately. See, I told you it was cheap. It just fell apart. I want you to notice in the third place, the Holy Spirit makes the purpose of God personal to you. You see, folks, when His presence is real in His life and His power is alive and it's flowing through you, you will live for His purpose. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In other words, what's really inside of you, what's really in your heart, is going to come out of you. You know, as I walk the halls and talk to church members a lot, I hear a lot of church members talking about the Dallas Cowboys. I hear a lot of folks talking about their work, or a lot of folks talking about their exercise routine. I hear a lot of folks talking about politics, and we see a lot of social media posting about that, don't we? Now, I'm not saying that hobbies are bad. I love sports. If you exercise, great. We all need to join you in that. You ought to talk about your job. We ought to have an interest in politics to be salt and light. But shouldn't it be true that in a group of people who say the presence of God is real to them and the power of God is flowing through them, that we would open up our mouth on occasion and the name of Jesus would come out? You see, when His presence is real and when His power is at work, you won't be able to help but tell others about Him. You see, folks, the power of God is for the purpose of God. And this year, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we want to move forward. We want to reach our community and reach the world with the gospel. As I look back over 2019, I'm excited about the over 100 people that trusted Christ in our worship services last year. Boy, that fires me up like nothing else does. And when we got the last report in, did you know that we had over 90 people trust Christ in door-to-door visitation this year? I was fired up about that. In our build-up to Friend Day, we knocked over 6,000 doors. And that day, as Dr. Farrell was here, we had 30 professions of faith. And there are some people that were here today because they were reached on Friend Day. You know, last year we started a brand new ministry called Embrace Grace. The Lord put it on the heart of some ladies in our church to do something for single mothers, and man, they had a great start. They were a blessing to a handful of ladies that desperately needed somebody to show the love of Christ, and they're telling me that they already have much more interest for this year's class than they even had for last year's class. You know, last year we were able to start a new ministry at a federal prison just down the road. And John Foster and Jody and the folks that work with them have been able to lead some men in prison to Christ. And they've got a great group that are coming every week to grow in the Word and grow deeper in their discipleship. And listen, we've only scratched the surface of what could be done in prisons all over this area. The Lord really moved through in Bethlehem in this year, didn't He? You know, if you count the worship services that we had that week, we had over 2,000 people on our campus. And each and every one of them heard a clear presentation of the gospel. In fact, just yesterday, Brother Sides was following up on a lady that had trusted Christ in Bethlehem Inn, and he got to lead her son to Christ. It's still bearing fruit. We had a great number of people last year go through our continued discipleship class. The Lord added 73 members to our church last year. Did you know that we had 6 or 7 good families move away? But the Lord has brought us in their place some wonderful new families. They're already getting involved, and we're not missing a beat. We're just going on for the glory of God. One of the things as we look forward into 2020 that I'm really excited about is making a significant investment in our children's ministries. This year, we're going to bring in some staff We're going to invest some resources into teacher training and into our classrooms and into our bus ministry. You know, folks, our children are growing up in a world where they're being told there's no right from wrong. They're growing up in a world where they're being told there's no male or female. Did you know that 32% of children growing up in Tarrant County come from a single-parent home? Almost 1 in 3. Now, there are some great single parents out there, and I know many of them are doing everything they can, but many of those children are at home alone for hours every day, and they're being babysat and brainwashed by their devices that they're consuming sometimes up to 8 or 9 hours a day. Don't you think that there ought to be a church here in Tarrant County that cares enough about those children to knock on their doors and bring them and their families to church? Don't you think there ought to be a church here that cares enough to provide first-class facilities for them and to make sure our classes are the best that they can be when they get here? You see, the children and young people of Worth Baptist Church are our future, and I think we ought to do everything we can to reach children and young people, to grow them, and then to send them as the next generation of disciple makers. Now, in the booklet that you received tonight, you'll see a lot about our strategy. Someone has said that a dream without a plan is just a wish, and that's true. We have a strategy. We're going to go big for Easter Sunday, an open house, and in Bethlehem in again. We're going to knock thousands more doors in the lead up to our big days, and we're going to push to get folks involved in outreach. We're praying about starting a brand new class, an ESL class, to teach refugees English as a second language, and doubling our efforts to reach the folks from all over the world that God's brought to our doorstep. I'm grateful for the outreach that we had in public schools last year. Through ODY and our Good News Club, scores of boys and girls put their faith and trust in Christ. And many of you are giving up your afternoons during a weekday to go to those public schools with the gospel of Christ. And I'm happy about all of that. But I want you to listen to me tonight. I don't want our church to become a calendar-led or staff-led church. We set the agenda, and outreach only happens on 3 or 4 big Sundays or between the hours of 10 and 12 on Saturday. I would rather than being a calendar-led church, I wish that we were a Spirit-led people, sensitive to His leading and always looking for someone to lead to Christ and someone to encourage. Let me tell you what's better than an outreach event. And I think we ought to have them, but let me tell you what's better than an outreach event. A Spirit-led salesman who's sensitive to the Spirit during a sales call and says, now that we've talked business and now that I've sold you something, let me tell you about a free gift bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary. You know what's better than an outreach event, a realtor that cares as much about giving people a heavenly home as she does giving people an earthly home? Teachers with a greater passion to impart the truth of the gospel as they have to impart the truths of reading, writing, and arithmetic. You see, folks, when His presence is alive in us and His power is flowing through us, we'll reflect the light of Christ not just at 4900 Campus Drive, but everywhere we go. And that's when the Church of Jesus Christ starts doing the greater things that He promised we would do. Now, I believe that all of the Great Commission belongs to all of the church. We ought to be involved. But can I reassure you tonight? The mission is much bigger than any one of us. Not every assignment that comes down from heaven has your name on it. But I can promise you this, at least one does. And every single one of us ought to be reaching and growing and sending. I believe that. But only the Holy Spirit can tell you how and where and when and what that looks like in your life. And I think that's where the priority of prayer comes in. See, if we're not careful, we get so programmed. And we get into the routine of a church calendar. And we think if we just show up here and do our time here, that the work of Christ will be done in this community. That's not at all how He intends for the church to run. In Acts chapter 13, the leaders at the church of Antioch were fasting and praying and ministering to the Lord, the Bible says. And while they were in a spirit of prayer, the Holy Spirit said, oh friend, how long has it been since you heard the Holy Spirit say something? He said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto that I have called them. You see, folks, the mission director of a local church is not the pastor, it's not a discipleship director. The mission director of a local church is the Holy Spirit. And I believe with all of my heart that if we would spend some time in prayer and we would open up our hearts to the Lord, that He would show us what the Great Commission looks like in our lives individually and what part we're supposed to have in His plan. As I close, Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, did some great things as far as the world is concerned. Many of you have his devices in your pocket tonight, and I hope you haven't been checking them while I've been preaching. He said this, if you are working on something exciting that you really care about, you don't have to be pushed. The vision pulls you. And how much truer should that be for God's people concerning the purpose of God when we have the presence and power of a real person living within us? When we are alive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to His leading, communing with Him, we don't have to be pushed. God's vision within us pulls us. Let me ask you this evening, is the presence of God real to you? How long has it been since you were aware of the fact that you are indwelled by a person? Is the power of God alive in you? Are you striving for anything, and is God working mightily in you? Is the mission of God personal to you? Can you say tonight, the Holy Spirit has revealed to me exactly why I'm on planet Earth and exactly how I'm to reach people, grow them, and send them? What's your part this year in God's plan to do greater things in DFW and around the world? And I wonder if any of you would be willing to come and pray tonight and to say to the Holy Spirit, you're in the lead in my life. You show me the way this year. However you want me to be involved, whatever assignment you have for me, I'm going to do it. Holy Spirit, I don't want to go through the motions for another year. Do something great in me. Make your presence real to me. And then do something great through me. The vision this year is not what we should do for God. The vision this year is what a God in heaven desperately wants to do through us. Are you willing? Are you yielded? Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for this consuming truth that the Holy Spirit really does live within us. That we are not members of a cold, impersonal, dead, dried up religion. We have a relationship with a real person. And my guess is, Father, that there are some believers in the room tonight who last year had not so much heard as whether there be a Holy Spirit. It's been a long time since they discerned His leading, His guiding. A long time since they followed one of those divine impulses to give the gospel or read a little more, pray for someone, or encourage someone. I believe that you are up in heaven wanting to direct your people and wanting to direct your mission through the Holy Spirit. But we have to yield ourselves to it. Father, I pray you'd give us a real willingness this year to quiet our hearts, to spend some real time seeking your face, and to ask you tonight and as this week and month goes on, what do you have for me to do? What's the great thing you want from me this year? And then, Father, would you give us enough love for you and enough Christian courage to do it and to follow through? And I believe this evening that if every single member of Worth Baptist Church would listen to the leading of your Spirit and would fulfill their part of your purpose, that we would do greater things for you this year than we have ever done before. Oh, make it so. Help us to seek your face. Help us even tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? I want you to know everything we've talked about this evening, the love of God being shed abroad in your heart, the Spirit making the presence of God real to you, all of that belongs exclusively to the believer. You see, friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit doesn't live in you yet, but He wants to. And tonight you could leave your seat and you could meet a man or woman here and they could take God's word and show you how you can be a Christian and how the Holy Spirit of God can come into your life and make God real to you. Christian, how many of you would pray this prayer tonight? God, I want you to be real in me this year. I want to do more than what I can do. I want to know your power. I realize disconnected from you, I'm just plastic. I'll never be the light you want me to be. So this year, I'm going to invest in my relationship with you. I'm going to come to know you, I hope, in a greater way than I ever had. And day in and day out, I want to wake up in the morning and I want you to lead my life. Show me this year if there's a ministry you want me to be involved in. Help me, Lord, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when He shows me someone that needs the gospel. Lord, this year I want you to take the lead. You know, many have already left their place today. And this is a perfect place, an old-fashioned altar, to make a prayer like that. Why don't you come tonight and say, Spirit of the living God, lead my life. Brother Corey is going to lead us in a verse. We invite you to come.